Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
He's the man Talkers Magazine says is one of the most important talk show hosts in America.
We tell you over and over again that you're wonderful and you just don't get it. What's wrong with you?
He's Jim Blasingame, our small business advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. My pleasure to continue to be with you as always. You're going to really be glad you're with me right now because we've got a special treat, ladies and gentlemen. Alan Weiss is here. And if you don't know that name, Alan is one of the guys that way back in the day, you know, those many long years ago, actually about 17. And it's so funny to think about dates, but think about time when in the current age, everything's been compressed. But all those years ago, when you and I didn't know anything about the internet, Alan was in a perfect position to envision. And of course, he had to have the smarts to do it too. But his position, his career had taken him to a point where he and some other people could envision what was really possible. And he formed a company. He retired from IBM after many years there, and he formed a company called ANS, and that company was very instrumental, was a great reason why you and I have the things that we have today with regard to the internet. And he sold that company, moved on to other things, which we're going to talk about. He's written a book now called The Business of Changing Lives, and he's now our new friend, Alan Weiss. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, and I'm very happy to be here.
It's good to have you here, and your resume is so incredible, Alan. I this is radio. You only have so much time, so I did the best I could. But I just want to say, on behalf of all of us who enjoy the internet and enjoy being able to click around and in milliseconds have a lot of stuff that's pretty cool and pretty helpful. I don't get to do this often, but you're one of the people that we should say thank you to, and I want to do that right now.
Oh, I was just lucky.
Well, I'm not going to disagree to a certain degree with that, because you did find yourself at the right place at the right time. But some other people might have just wandered off into the sunset, and you didn't do that. You still had a fire in your belly. You graduated from MIT. You spent 30 years with IBM, a great company, one of our sponsors, by the way. But tell us, in 1990, when you retired from IBM, in 1990, tell us what you were thinking. What did you see?
Well, I had been watching the NSFnet. I was on National Science Foundation Network,
right,
which connected the supercomputer centers in the United States and the national labs and several other major universities.
So there was an academic network going on that a lot of people didn't know about. Of course, back in those days, I had a Hayes modem, and I could connect to Prodigy and CompuServe and that sort of thing.
But that was, at that time, separate from this network.
Right, right.
Prodigy Network had its own protocols, mm-hmm, which is a language computers use to talk to each other. CompuServe did the same.
Mm-hmm.
But this was a network of research centers and academia and government labs. And I was watching the traffic on that because I was on the NSF, the National Science Foundation Executive Committee.
Right.
And I saw it going exponential. And I said, holy crumb.
What you saw was people taking to or adopting and liking the ability to have this kind of connectivity. It wasn't just the information they were sharing. It was the way they were adopting. Is that what you're saying?
That is true. It was the first time in the history of computers that all of the manufacturers, all of the computer manufacturers, supported the same protocol or language that allowed computers to talk to one another.
Mm-hmm.
It was also the first time in the history of computing where the network was high enough speed to take all of the traffic
right.
that everyone could throw at it.
And this had been built by the government.
It had been built by the government, mm-hmm. and it was the traffic was growing so fast that it started to get slow.
And this was the true origin of the internet, wasn't it?
Well, it was the major evolution that permitted it to grow almost unlimited for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I
got to go to a break here, but what you saw was you saw people using this and liking it. You saw them sharing information cross platforms, irrespective of the computers they were using, and then you saw it bogging down, and he said, "Hey, maybe we could fix this," and he did it, and we're going to talk about that right after these messages, and the rest is history, folks. 20 after, 20 till. Stay with us. We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Hope you check it out when you get a chance. Use it to your advantage. And we booked it just for you. No barrier to entry. Lots of stuff there that will help you with your small business. And, of course, if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blasingame. I don't want to waste a second of time that we have to spend with Alan Weiss. Alan is the author of The Business of Changing Lives, but he's the guy, as I said earlier, folks, he's one of the guys who saw the opportunity for the internet and helped build it out. Now, Alan, when you did this, you were just telling us about how what you saw when you looked around. You saw that all these national science folks were adopting and were talking and just having a great time, but it started to overload the system, and you saw an opportunity, didn't you?
Yes, and that's when we formed ANS, Advanced Network and Services, and we took a great risk because we, with IBM, built our own routers.
Mm-hmm.
No one had built routers which were 30 times faster than any other router built.
Wow.
And we were changing technology at the pace of about once every 3 months.
Wow.
And
so that was basically, and see, I talk about this quite a bit on the show and in my writing, Alan, where I talk about an internet year is about 90 days, where a generational cycle, when you and I were young pups, Alan, a generation was a year, maybe 5 years, maybe 10 years. And a product and an innovation, but what you were seeing the early stages of an internet year, which is 90 days.
Yes, and we changed our technology in a way that was similar to changing an engine on a 747 while the plane was going.
There's a chapter in the book that talks about that, folks, that you're not going to want to miss. And so you were doing this, but here's one thing that I think is important to point out. Your company ANS, you formed it as a nonprofit. Now, why did you do that? Surely, smart guy like you, surely you could see that nonprofit wasn't the way to go.
No,
I mean that being profitable, being a profit for profit company, could have made you a lot of money.
I wanted to create something where whatever we made would be used to advance education through the use of technology, and the technology we created.
So in those days, you were already thinking, this is going to make enough money for everybody. Let's do it the right way. Let's do it where it helps everybody.
Exactly. And second, I wanted to have a structure that could be self-sustaining.
Mm-hmm.
Even when the organizations that helped us get off the ground lost interest, or we found ourselves competing with our parents. And that happened.
Mm-hmm.
Shortly after we formed the not-for-profit, we created for-profit that the not-for-profit owned. And we were just like a normal business.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew this thing was going to go bazonkers.
Yeah.
And I knew that.
Did you really know did you really, in those days, did you have any idea that it would become what it is now?
No.
Even with all your vision, it was hard to imagine this, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I don't think anyone that was involved in the original internet, you know, the early internet,
which was less than 20 years ago, folks.
Yeah, had any idea how big it was going to be.
Yeah. What would you have done differently? Now, knowing what, if you knew what you know now, what would you have done differently in those days?
That's a very hard question. I don't think I would do anything differently.
Good for you. That's a good answer. I like that answer.
I have no regrets.
I like that. So, so you sold that company to AOL.
We sold.
You built. But let's make sure we identify what you did. You built this network. You built this high speed network, across which individuals could use. Right? They could subscribe. They could sign up. Why would they get connect?
Yes, it was the largest and fastest part of the internet.
Part of the backbone. We call it the backbone.
It was the backbone of the internet for 5 years. And AOL was our biggest customer.
Right.
It started to become, we turned it commercial.
Mm-hmm.
And it started to become almost like working for IBM again.
Right.
Same customer.
Right.
And, you know.
It quit being as much fun, didn't it?
Yeah, there's a great song. Know when to...
hold them and when to fold them.
Hold it and know when to fold it.
Right.
And it was time to get out.
Right.
So I had a conversation with Steve Case at night over dinner. He made an offer. I started to go away to sort of kayak in Tierra del Fuego for a couple months, and we sold the company to him.
Yeah.
And every time I'd get on the phone, I'd get on the phone.
and so then he sold his company, folks, and he's still with the idea of what could we do for human beings. He started working on philanthropy, and he started working on education. When we come back, the book is called The Business of Changing Lives. He's going to talk to us a little bit about that. And don't worry, folks. I've got a lot more questions to ask him about the early stages of the internet. We're going to coax Alan to come back another day, and we'll ask all those other questions. But I want him to tell us about what he's doing these days, because it's pretty good stuff. Ten Till, stay with us. We're back at 7 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks for hanging out with me. I'm very happy to be part of your day and to introduce you to some really cool people like our new friend and our guest this half hour, Alan Weiss. Al is the author of The Business of Changing Lives, which is a brand new book out that I'm excited about telling you about. Folks, if you want to read about the origin of the internet and what some really good and really benevolent people, really smart and benevolent people were trying to do to get things going. You want to read about this book. So it's not only a history book and an informative book, but it's a feel-good book. And Alan, I want to congratulate you on that.
Thank you very much.
Tell the audience where we can find it.
It's on Amazon. It's at Barnes & Noble's and many other bookstores.
What about your own website?
There's a pointer on my website to... all of those places, just touch the book.
But your website is advanced.com?
Advanced.org.
Advanced.org, I'm sorry. Advanced, folks, with a D on the end, .org. Alan, talk to us about what your thoughts on education. I know that when you sold your company, you started working on philanthropy, you believed that the internet could be used, technology could be used to advance education. You set about working on that, didn't you?
Yes, and I did it in a pretty structured way. I talked to hundreds of kids I did market research on the kids. I talked to maybe 30, 40 schools. I went into the schools and walked around, and I talked to the principals. Then I talked to the corporations that built educational materials for the school.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a shock. They said their market was to provide materials to pass tests.
Wow.
That's what the schools wanted.
Wow.
And when I talked to the school superintendents, they said they have to teach to the test.
Wow.
So they replace if the school test scores drop the point. So I thought if the kids decided what they thought was important.
Right.
And taught it to other kids, maybe that would work. And I held out $2 million as prize money.
Mm-hmm.
And the kids actually built wonderful educational websites to teach other kids, and it caught on.
Mm-hmm.
And it became the fastest-growing internet-based educational program in the world. We had participants from over 100 countries in just a few years.
Mm-hmm. ThinkQuest.
In 120 countries now.
ThinkQuest.
That was the name of the program.
Yeah. Is it still going on?
It's after 5 years of running ThinkQuest, I was offered big money from venture capitalists, mm-hmm. and all the educational sites wanted to pick it up, but they were going to commercialize it.
Right.
So I gave it to the Oracle Educational Foundation.
Wow.
And they currently run ThinkQuest, and they're doing a really wonderful job.
Good for you. What a great thing for you to do. What a benevolent and human thing for you to do, and I congratulate you for that. Alan, talk to us about what you think, where you think education should be headed right now. What are we going to do about our education system? I heard something the other day that the number of dropouts in high school in America is appalling. It's frightening, in fact.
It's sad. In so many of the inner cities, the districts, the townships don't have the money to have small classes. They don't mm-hmm. have the money.
But Alan, is it money or is it intent? I think we've got a lot of places where a lot of money's been thrown at education and we haven't gotten good results.
Money isn't the only thing.
Yeah.
The teachers, I think, are overburdened with administrative mm-hmm. work.
Yeah.
And they're teaching, and I think this is a big problem, that
right.
teaching too much to the test and they're not teaching.
Yeah.
Students how to learn.
Yeah, I think that's one of the problems. And hopefully that's what the internet is teaching them. Alan, I got to wrap it up. The website is advanced.com. The book is called The Business of Changing Lives by Alan Weiss, W-E-I-S, ladies and gentlemen, A-L-L-A-N-W-E-I-S, along with Valerie Andrews, his co-author. Alan, thank you so much for being here. Will you come back another day?
Yes, and it's been a pleasure to be here.
Thank you. I've enjoyed having you here. Congratulations on your work. And for your contribution, sir, thank you for that. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Don't go away. I'll be back after the news.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.